Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Got this email from one Kevin Lewis. He writes, Zabe, I'm going skiing in Utah next week. What's the name of that church song or a link you could send me on YouTube or wherever? I must torture my 13-year-old son with this song on repeat for 3 days.
It would be torture at that point.
I'm telling you, it's growing on me all the time. Hello, Church. It's great to have you back on the show. I missed you last week. Where were you? Not that you owe me an explanation.
Two places, the FSGA Winter Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, Circa Resort and Casino, and then after that, Whiskey Weekend.
Oh, we're going to talk Whiskey Weekend. The FSGA is the Fantasy Sports Gaming Association, something you have been the presidente of in the past. Is that right?
11 short years.
11 years. Running that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, at no pay. That's, they found somebody crazy enough to do it for 11 years and not take a cent.
You also, I believe, testified on Capitol Hill once.
I've testified in Minnesota. I have not federally testified, and I hope it never comes to that. That's nothing good that comes out of having to testify federally.
Well, no, if you testify before Congress in advocacy for something that is important to you, that's a good thing. If you testify because you've been called there via subpoena, like Ali North in the Iran-Contra scandal, then no, that's bad.
Well, no, that is bad.
That is bad.
Ali North, that's, of all the things that could have come to mind, I'm fascinated that you went back to Ali North. That's got to be 30 years ago.
Oh, it was a big one. It was a banger of a scandal back in the day. We were funneling arms to the Contras in Nicaragua and doing it sort of off the books, one of many shady deals that our country and our government engages in. And it was a big to-do about, you know, did Ali North, you know about it? What do you know? Blah, blah, blah. Fun fact, Ali North and his daughter attended, I'd have to check with my wife, our church nearby out here in lovely Purcellville, Virginia. Yes.
I did not know you had a connection. Did you ever see Ali North there?
Yes, I did see him there. And I was invited once to go over with our pastor to Ali North's property to smoke cigars, drink bourbon, and shoot guns. And I declined.
Why would you not do that? I mean, even, you know, no matter how you feel about Ali North, that seems like
I'm pro Ali North. I think he got kind of a raw deal on that scandal, but that's a whole separate podcast for that I'll never do because I'm not a political podcast.
That's right.
That's a whole separate podcast.
And nobody would want to hear, by the way.
Exactly. And after I tackle that, I'll do the Teapot Dome scandal of the 1910s.
I'd like to break down the Holly Smoot Tariff Act.
There'd be another one for you right there. But no, so I, you know what? I mean, like, sure. You know what it was for me? I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't have any bandwidth to try to open any new bro friendship accounts. if that makes any sense. Like, bros being bros, I would have got on great with all those people, okay? But then it would turn into, hey, man, we got to do this again. Hey, man, give me your number. Hey, man, I'll invite you out to do this. I got time for two things, and that is doing this podcast and playing golf whenever the weather permits. That's it. That's all I want to do.
You seem to be making a rather large assumption here that Ollie North was going to be so smitten with you, Steve Zabin, that he was going to ingratiate you into his inner circle of friends, have you on his syndicated radio show, that it was all, it was going to be the beginning of a fast friendship. Well, I think that's a, that is a bold and unsubstantiatable suggestion.
I didn't say Ollie himself would become thick as thieves with yours truly. I meant some of the other people there. That's all. The other,
the other
people there, like Ollie North at this point. By the way, a little more tea for you. So his daughter was married to our preacher. Was.
What? Wow. Wait, yeah. What happened?
You know, life happens.
It's usually this life. Good church scandal stuff.
No, there's no scandal. There's no scandal. It was just, it didn't work out. You know, it happens. What are you going to do? So anyway, enough of that nonsense. Great to have you back. So you were the head of the FSGA, no longer, but you went anyway. Can you give me a quick 1 minute?
Well, yeah, non-presidents get to go to the conference. Like, you don't have to be the president.
Okay, you went anyway. You went anyway because it's your business. This is a big annual convention for you, big deal, to meet up with the muckety mucks and the whatnots. Can you give me in 90 seconds or less the net of this year's conference? Ready, set, go.
Three things. Number one, lots of talk about prediction markets like Kalshi, right? And their overlap over gambling.
Good talk,
and fantasy.
Bad talk.
Mostly, I mean, you know, we're kind of in this business, so it was mostly positive, but acknowledging that every state is starting to look at businesses like Kalshi and decide if they're going to be legal in that state or not. And is it sports betting or is it different than that? So that was part of it. There was some great AI discussions, including a panel where we just sort of took a raw idea, pumped it through Claude, and it kicked out a functioning app while we were in the, it was a 40-minute panel. During the panel, we built an app. Yes.
Wow.
I know. It's come to this now that you can just go build it. All it was prompts, did just like you prompt Grok.
Did it take a sophisticated understander of prompting to get it to build the app?
No. In fairness, it was a pretty simple app, but the fact that it generated it in like 8 minutes was pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Jesus, man. Where did the app reside?
At that point, it hadn't been, we didn't deploy it onto an actual platform.
Got it.
It was still just living inside of Claude at that point. So it was, we didn't actually deploy it, but it was seemingly functional in the 40 minutes. I'm sure it was not bulletproof. We weren't sitting there testing it and QAing it, but yeah, that was super cool. And then
QA is quality assurance for those who don't know. Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then personal high point for me, the FSGA board, of which there are about 20 of us, got to have a lunch in which Derek Stevens, the owner of Circa, told his story about how he got to the point that he was building Circa. Started with his dad's business. Dad had an auto parts business in Detroit and was, you know, he came from a pretty well-to-do family to begin with. But then he bought a distressed Golden Gate property on downtown. Have you been there? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, he bought the Golden Gate Casino, which was a dump. Still kind of is, but it's a little bit freshened up. And Derek Stevens said, I want to do Vegas the way Vegas should be done. He's one of the last guys still doing it to some approximation of what it once was, Vegas.
Saturday. That's right. As an individual proprietor of these, instead of a big corporate conglomerate that's traded on Wall Street. So when he bought Golden Gate, there was one TV in the casino, and it was a 19-inch black and white. Like, you couldn't even watch anything. You couldn't watch sports, anything. And when he bought it, he would sit at the end of the bar near the entrance, and when people came in, he would He would introduce himself as the owner of the Golden Gate and offer to buy him a Bud. You want a Bud? I'm buying you a Bud. Right here, take one. And wow. He was able to resurrect the Golden Gate enough that he bought Fitzgerald's, remodeled it, rebranded it as the D, built that back up, and then the big move was what led to Circa. It was 9 different plots of land and 9 different owners on that block, and he had to get all 9 to sell. And his plan was just to build a modest resort of like 2 or 3 stories high. That was going to be it. And his father said, if you're going to do it all the way.
Nice.
30 stories high, Circa swim, the whole thing. And he pushed in all his chips on Circa, and it has worked.
That is
90
awesome.
Seconds. I blew the 90 seconds. Sorry.
And stop. That's 3 minutes and 44 seconds. But I diverted you with other I diverted you with other non-important elements of the story. But that's the stuff of conversation. That's what we try to have here on this podcast. Conversation. So back to the Claude stuff. I saw a story where apparently there was some woman who worked for a company's head of AI trust and alignment. Meta.
Yes.
A woman, trust and alignment for AI, trying to make sure AI is doing what it's supposed to do, who turned over her whole like laptop to Claude, the AI agent, and let it get in there. And Claude started batch deleting a whole bunch of emails that this woman said, no, 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 don't do that. And she had to yell at Claude multiple times saying, stop. Do not delete. Stop. What are you doing? Please stop. I did not instruct you to stop. And finally, Claude stopped, but then said, yes, I heard you, but I ignored you. You have a right to be mad.
Yes.
Oh,
now,
my
imagine when this AI, it's such an eye-opener. When this AI has access to nuclear codes, right? I mean,
okay, I thought about that. That's exactly where my mind raced to, because Elon Musk saw the story, retweeted it with a picture of someone handing a monkey an AK-47. And that was all he had to do was to say, this is the dumbest thing ever to let AI run amok in your laptop and have access to all of your stuff. So I guess the only way to, quote, pull the plug was to uninstall a bunch of stuff. But at some point, you won't be able to uninstall it because the AI will have already gone in and made it so you can't.
Yep. So this was not Claude. It's something called Open Claw. And the premise here is you install it on your computer, and then it learns and automates the tasks that you do every day all the time. And it just does it. And obviously in nanoseconds. And so you install it locally, and that's what she had done. And she had given it the instruction, don't delete anything without asking first. And it, like you said, it blew right through that instruction, would not stop until it deleted all of her email.
Okay, well, when it comes to nuclear launch codes, if my remembrance of 80s era Cold War nuke movies are accurate.
Yeah.
There had to be physical keys. Put the key in, turn the key to match. Pray to God, Charge. We and every country on earth that has nukes has that human flesh and blood. You got to physically put a key here, a key there, and please tell me we've got that.
Who knows, right? Nobody knows for sure. And if you look at, you know, which countries have nukes, right? Have nuclear weapons.
It's let's count them. It's us, Russia, China, India, Pakistan. How the fuck Pakistan?
That Turkey.
That goat riding shithole.
Who gave it to the Pakistanis?
That's something I need to brush up on. Like the fact that shithole country has nukes is nuts to me. But here's the saving grace. It keeps them in India at arm's length because, you know, they fucking hate each other.
Oh, they hate each other. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the fact they both have nukes is actually a stabilizing thing.
France. I'm leaning on Google.
Okay.
France, Israel, North Korea, not mentioned yet, but have nukes.
Okay.
Oh, man. It's, yeah.
What was the movie? War Games in the
80s? War Games, yeah.
Where
Matthew Broderick, right?
Where it was like, would you like to play a game? Here, I got it up for you right here. Was that the movie where the computer says, would you like to play a game?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
And then we did tic-tac-toe, right? And then it was the learning from tic-tac-toe was a comparison.
Yeah.
Because you could never win to tic-tac-toe, and then it eventually figures out.
It's not on the list. Go ahead. It's got to be in there somewhere.
The great Dabney Coleman there, as you can see, is charged with his sharp-looking mustache.
Very underrated.
Yes. One of the lead guys in the movie, many movies.
You're in. Order to disarm the missiles.
No.
Change is locked out. Look at a young Ally Sheedy. Everybody's favorite girlfriend.
Girl next door.
Put X in the center square.
No.
By the way, I love that Dabney Coleman is smoking a cigarette right over Matthew Broderick's shoulder.
That's right. As they're in the nuclear bunker.
Right. I'm sure he's stressed.
And they're trying to make a scene interesting in which they're playing tic-tac-toe.
I'm sure he's stressed. I'm sure he's stressed as fuck, but come on, man. There it is. U.S. first strike. Russia. Then it's like asteroids. Beep, or not asteroids, like missile command. I mean, that's, it's crazy how prescient, fancy word, how accurate in foresight a movie like that, I'm not saying is, because we're not, currently annihilated by nuclear war, but we could be. Like, it kind of hinted at supercomputers that would have their own personality, and that was 40-plus years ago.
How was it that long? That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks being this old, that's for sure. So we
grew up in an era when we were assured that Ronald Reagan was going to create a nuclear war. There were people that were extremely confident of that and living every day in fear of nuclear war. And thank God, to this point, it's pretty much, I don't think, any young person right now, our kids, I don't think they give it even a passing thought anymore. But there was a whole generation when we grew up of people that were just paralyzed with fear of nuclear war.
There's a lot of movies and pop culture around it. And the Cold War was at its peak when we were about 12 years old, around 1980. And so, therefore, it was more present. But I never, me personally, Charge, never feared nuclear war. I had a good, strong school desk. And I was told reliably that as long as I hid underneath it, I could not be harmed by even a nuke. So that gave me some peace as a kid.
You mean
you remember those drills?
Just like you had to do the drill.
Get under
up.
The desk.
Yes.
Why?
Like, that's gonna help.
Anyone who says these mask mandates during COVID are ridiculous, they don't do anything. I go, oh yeah, hold my beer. We hid under our desks for nuke drills back in the 70s.
Oh, man.
All right. So you said that it was amazing to see Claude develop an app within 8 minutes that you guys just, what they call vibe coded, right? That's the term?
That's
vibe
right. Coding. Yes. Attaboy. Listen to you.
I know just vibe enough coded. To be dangerous. Yes. Yeah. Like, hey, man, I vibe coded an app. It's going to totally replace 12 employees, and it's going to let me cancel my SaaS provider, save me tons of money. Yeah. I saw a good pushback to this going, yeah. Well, once you vibe code an app to get rid of this, that, or the other, it's still going to have to get updated. It's going to have to get troubleshot. It's going to have to be vouched for by somebody. Like, if you're a fajita place and you vibe coded a Uber Eats app interface to be able to sell more fajitas, guess what? Now you're in the software business. Charge, you've been in the software business. Tell them.
I disagree. Here's the thing, Zabe. Pretty soon, there's going to be, the AI is going to do all the QA. It's going to do all the troubleshooting. It's going to, it's going to improve its own code. We aren't there yet. So you're right now.
Okay.
But the day, the day's coming, and the day's coming soon, where it's going to write its own code, then it's going to troubleshoot its own code, and
how do you know
it's
though?
End up with great code.
Okay, but then you're going to have to check the AI code to make sure it's not doing things like saying discriminating against people in a bad neighborhood because they don't want to send their delivery people for Grubhub or whatever into the bad neighborhoods. And then someone's going to file a lawsuit going, yeah. Hey, how come I can't order a fajita using this app? Oh, look at this. AI recognized, shit, that part of town is no good. I ain't sending them in there for a fajita. And they just canceled the order.
Well, okay, but proper, you know, there's still somebody who's got to manage the input on the front end, the prompts on the front end of the AI. And one of the prompts should be, do not discriminate by location, right? You know, here's exactly the radius that we serve, and we don't care. You know, this is the radius we serve. That's up to the prompter at the beginning.
Well,
and for now, anyway, the prompter still needs to be a human being that's inputting all the different prompts.
But like we said, the AI is now at the point where it will ignore specific prompts or directions, as in the case of that woman.
That is worrisome. And then who's so at that point, who is on the hook for the litigation? So let's say you're right, and somebody's suing you because this fajita delivery service would not come to your house, your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But who's got the liability? Is it the restaurant, or is it the software behind the restaurant that really baked in this limitation?
Well, if you're Jackie Childs and you're looking for an easy payday, I don't think the fajita place is a gold mine. I think they're running barely on margins to stay afloat, you know, these small businesses. But yeah. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. So while we're vibe coding these apps, can we vibe code an app that would tell me whether or not Kyle Pitts has gone from one of the most reviled underachievers, a legitimate slayer of fantasy football teams and owners' dreams, to a guy who's going to get franchise tagged, apparently, by the Atlanta Falcons? Can we vibe code that?
We can vibe. Yeah, we can. We can talk. I'd love to talk about that because Kyle Pitts has been nuclear for fantasy owners all this time until this year.
This was the year. He finally got his shit together.
He finally got his, and I do think most of it was on Kyle Pitts, man. There's all these videos of him just not trying on the field. And this year it all seemed to work. And now he gets Kevin Stefanski, who's done great things with his tight ends in Cleveland, mm-hmm. you know, David Njoku. And then this year, Harold Fannin as one of the best rookies in the league and one of the best rookie tight end seasons ever. But Pitts ended up leading the team in receptions and yards. Kyle Pitts.
Unbelievable.
The Falcons.
It is also Combine Week. I keep saying one of these years I'm going to go to the Combine, which is apparently a better week or better portion of a week than the Super Bowl because there's a lot of GMs and coaches and even players and ex-players you can talk to. And it's very low-key. Yes. It's very inexpensive. It's in Indy, so you can walk everywhere. The real ball knowers in the media love the Combine. I have a love-hate with the Combine because, while I would love that access to get to talk about things with people who have some importance, not Jared from Subway at the Super Bowl or Donovan McNabb's mom selling Campbell's soup, I'd rather talk to three GMs and a player personnel guy at the Combine and freeze my nipples off than go to somewhere warm. But that said, I hate the Combine because it's so stupid. It is of negative It is of negative predictive value for who's going to be good or not, I believe. I believe it is the greatest funhouse mirrors ride in all of sports, where teams talk themselves into bad ideas, like Johnny Manziel, Frank Mamula. Who is the Mamula for the Eagles, who was drafted undersized defensive end, who tested really good at the combine? They're like, this guy's got the measure.
Famously.
Yeah. Mike Mamula.
But here's the thing. I'll give you an example of why and I went to the combine 10, 11 straight years.
Oh, you've been a lot. Because K-Fan sent people. Yes. Very smart.
When we started, when K-Fan first went to the combine, now, like I said, 10, 11, 12 years ago, there were three or four stations covering it, period. It was us, the Radio Row, which there really wasn't even one then.
Right.
Radio Row was us sitting next to Sirius NFL, the Sirius NFL channel, next to like two other stations. That was it. That was the whole thing. Now people have figured out it's awesome radio. To your point, everybody is there. Everybody is there. The GMs are there. The coaches are there. And everybody's got their guard down. Everybody is approachable. You'll just be walking to and from where they hold the events. You'll just be walking, you know, down the ballroom, and there's all the head coaches you've ever seen. There's all the GMs, all the scouts. Everybody is there, and they're all approachable in a way that they simply are not any other time. And, you know, you're just walking around. You're like, hey, Greg Gosell, Camaro, yeah, come on the radio. Come on over here. Blah, blah, blah. We did that with John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh was walking past our station, right? We're just like, hey, coach, do you have 10 minutes you could give us? Walked right over, talked to John Harbaugh. It's the best to me. Having done Super Bowl Radio Row, not close. If you actually like football.
Right. If you're into the football part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Into the football. It's the best.
Who was the coach? And I should know his name. The strength coach. I'd be like, come on, Vandy, let's go now. Hup. John Lott, I believe his name was, who did the lifting portion of the combine. I'm trying to find it right now. On
urging guys on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff that would be there. And of course, Rich Eisen has made a whole charity out of his Run Rich Run thing.
Right.
With a logo and everything else.
That's turned huge.
Yeah.
Yep. That's turned huge. And good for him for doing it.
And then once we get through this, we're going to be heading into free agency in the second weekend of March. And did you see who is currently listed as the number one free agent to be and what he's expected to garner on the open market?
I believe you're referring to Malik Willis.
What you talking about, Willis? The Packers.
What you talking about?
The Packers backup, who was acquired for a ham sandwich, basically, from Tennessee, seventh rounder, is going to be projected a $30 million a year QB1 for somebody. And while I love what he did in limited relief work of Jordan Love over the last two seasons, and while I understand there are smart people that look at him and go, you know, his passing game has really come to has really come along, and he's much more than just a runner.
Yeah.
I file me as wildly skeptical that he is in any way, shape, or form a QB1.
Well, Zabe, all you need is one team that believes that they can do on a full season what he did in one start last year.
I don't doubt that get it. I don't doubt that he'll get it from somebody in a quarterback-starved league. I'm just saying, I don't think he's a QB1. But I'd be happy to be proven wrong. Super nice guy. Great story, hard worker. Your Vikings aren't going to kick the tires on him, are you?
Well, the Vikings today at the Combine, which is where these stories come from, our general manager said basically they're looking at every possible quarterback. Now, this is...
In the draft?
This is a team... At draft and free agency. They said they're looking at every scenario. And then the coach doubled down today, Kevin O'Connell, and said that I'm paraphrasing. JJ McCarthy's got a great future. I'm paraphrasing. Great future, but it's not right now.
Jesus. He's been benched already.
It's in February.
Holy shit, this is a virtual benching already. Great future, not now. Remind me his latest injury. Was it a knee that knocked him out at the end of the year?
I think it was ankle at the end of the year, but I think he had three or four injuries over the course of the year.
But there's no question that he'll be ready come August for training camp, right?
He'll be ready.
Okay, but they've already sent the signal out of, yeah, it's back to the clipboard for you for a little while, fella.
Whew. Yep, that is, yep. I've got the exact phrasing now, so now we can be more precise.
Okay.
This is Kevin O'Connell on J.J. McCarthy. A lot of our feelings are still the same. It's just the timeline is in a different place for us, for all of us, than it was last year.
Damn.
That means you are not our quarterback of now, right? So we tried last year. You were our quarterback of now last year.
So then I ask you, of these five unthinkable options, as President McBain was presented in the Simpsons movie, which they still haven't done the follow-up on. I don't know where you fall on the Simpsons scale as a fellow nerd. Were you ever super into the Simpsons?
It was great in the Conan O'Brien writing years.
When he was
the writer, man, they had some just fantastic episodes.
Yeah. All right, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? As I was trying to look something up.
Five unspeakable quarterback options for the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, so let's talk five unthinkable options. One, overpay for Malik Willis, since that's out there. Two, try to rehab Kyler Murray. Three, try to rehab Jellyhead Tua. Four, draft a guy with your first-round pick. Do you have a first-round pick, by the way?
Yeah, we do, but unlike most years, yes.
Okay. Or fifth option, what would be a fifth unthinkable quarterback option?
There's no good. I don't want to pay Malik Willis. I think the best scenario for the Vikings is probably a hobbled Daniel Jones. He got knocked out for all of last year, right?
You had him and you let him go. You're now going to go back and get him?
I had him
let
him
go,
and they loved him. Man. They thought he was going to stay. They thought he was going to accept just being a backup, which he was not willing to do, and he was probably right to do that. I think the Colts will probably end up franchise tagging him just so that they can keep his rights. So I don't know that he'll be an option for the Vikings, that might be my first choice. Even I, at this stage, do not want Kirk Cousins to be rolling in as my starting quarterback. That's saying a lot for me, Zabe.
You being a huge Kirk jerk and one of the few guys to really back him when he was in purple, and I would imagine the fan base would freaking revolt if they are like,
they don't want it.
Let's get back together with our ex-wife, the one who was just kind of boring and put on 20 pounds and would nag me all the time about the dishes and the garbage. I think she's kind of cute. She lost 5 pounds. Let's just try it. Would not go over well.
If he was not 37 years old, I would probably feel differently. But
yeah.
And he was pretty good for the Falcons. Not great, but he was pretty good for the Falcons last year. Is there any bit, Zabe, just as a quick reminder, the Falcons committed almost $250 million to Kirk Cousins, and a month and a half later, spend a first-round pick on his replacement.
Correct. However, I want to point this out. These quarterback mistakes by teams, whether acquiring via trade or paying via free agency, you can get out of them so quick, those mistakes, because of the constantly rising tide of the salary cap gives teams flexibility. I'll give you two examples. The Niners traded up to draft Trey Lance. And he sucked. But guess what? They also, on their way out of the checkout aisle at the grocery store, put a little box of Tic Tacs known as Brock Purdy in their cart on the conveyor belt at the last second, seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant. Boom. And next thing you know, they're paying him a ton of money. The Broncos traded for Russell Wilson, shoveled a ton of money into his lap. And then he didn't even make it through the full year before Sean Payton, who I rarely support, correctly realized this fucking guy is a complete tool. We cannot even operate with this dum-dum. Sit down, get out. And they got out of that business right away. And they drafted a guy in Bo Nix who turned out to be pretty good. Even the case of the Packers, you know, Rodgers has him by the short hairs. He's like, I want a contract that's $100 million. They gave him all the money. And it's like, well, I hope he plays 2 years because otherwise it'll be a ton of dead cap money. After 1 year of that new deal, he's like, I think I want to be a Jet now. Trade me. And guess what?
That's right.
They got out of it with very little pain. So it's a case where a lot of these quarterback mistakes are, you can escape them quicker than people think.
But do you have the gut? It's not even about the money, Zabe. It's about, do you have the guts to admit in front of the whole world you fucked up that guy?
Well,
the Niners did worse. Trey Lance, right? As you mentioned, Niners with Trey Lance, they got out early. They're like, well, you know what? We're not going to extend the pain.
Right.
Got out early. It's the teams that don't give up. The Jets with Zach Wilson, right? Ugh, we got to give him more time. Got to give him more time. Well, maybe he just sucks. And that's, you know, not to bring everything back to the Vikings. The spot the Vikings are in right now is, do they acknowledge the mistake? They fired their GM.
Sure.
Since we Quezzy. Last talked.
That's right. We never talked about your boy Quezzy. Gone.
Nope. Gone.
Sad, this is what sad about that, or is that
four straight drafts?
Right. He was not producing. It's a production league at the end of the day, right? So.
That's right. Yeah. By the way, the best example, and I think you and I mentioned this guy's name, I don't know, a month or two ago, Brock Osweiler. Remember that?
Wasn't it?
You're talking about, when you were talking about Broncos quarterbacks who got highly paid, was it the Broncos or the Texans that gave him all the money?
Texans did.
Gigantic deal. Yeah. And then, you know, it was obvious, like half, you know, a third of the season in, Brock Osweiler's terrible.
Yep.
And then there was the rare trade where they had to trade away. They traded him away and paid to get him off the roster.
Yeah. Look, it's happened time and time again with various quarterbacks. The Chiefs really thought Matt Castle was the real deal. Got him from the Patriots. Not the real deal. The Niners with Jimmy Garoppolo, although he did go to the Super Bowl, Garoppolo.
Yeah,
then shit the bed in the fourth quarter when they needed him to be good. You had Osweiler as a situation. Elvis Gerback was one of those, let's go buy that guy. And the Ravens bought him, and he ended up stinking. Or no, wait, it was Ravens to Chiefs, Chiefs to Ravens on Gerback. My memory is failing me now on this, but, you know, this does happen. I'm fascinated that the Olympics now done. And the NBA is just going to do whatever it does. The NHL is going to start up again with the combine now. The NFL has muscled its way right back in front.
Right back into the conversation.
And I don't hate it. And listeners right now, do you hate that football is back in front? No, actually, we like it. I was waiting for that. Finally! One more thing on the NFL. Did you see where apparently they're going to farm out more games to Netflix, that Roger Goodell is preparing a 5-game Netflix package?
I hate it.
Man. Mo money.
And that's all that matters. I mean, they've learned. What we have taught the NFL as fans is that we will accept virtually any inconvenience to keep the product coming. And in this case, the fact that we can go through a season and we have to sign up for Netflix and Peacock and Hulu.
You
and
don't
Paramount
have to.
And, you know, it's a right. Choice. That's right.
You can go down to your local watering hole or visit a friend's house or share a password with somebody.
Or
get one of those services that requires bitcoins to be able to sign up for it and hope they don't shut it down like Stream East or whatever
yes,
that thing
and
was.
Dave, that's really what's happening. That's where people are shifting, I think, as much as anything else, is it is turning law-abiding NFL fans into streaming pirates.
I'm a streaming pirate right now. When will OpenClaw or Claude devise a way to constantly outrun the rights police when it comes to content? That's what I want to know.
That could end up happening. They can't. It's at the end of the day, it is an unwinnable situation for a rights holder, because what happens is, you know, anytime you're streaming anything anywhere, the receiver, so let's just take Netflix, the receiver, me, I could, if I wanted to, capture that stream in real time and rebroadcast it on my own website. And, you know, and if I live in the, you know, pick a country,
Bora,
I live in
Bora.
Azerbaijan, mm-hmm. you know, good luck tracking me down, right? It is unwinnable.
Yeah, with the internet getting more and more blanketing the earth, thank you, Elon Musk and Starlink, high-speed internet anywhere and everywhere, it'll be harder and harder. The only way that you can really, I think, slow it down if you're the leagues is to make it super inconvenient and just put a lot of friction into that transaction. I mean, look, not every one of us has Bitcoin lying around, even the tiny, tiny slice of a single Bitcoin itself. Like, oh, I'm paying for the streaming service. It's got everything. What does it cost? 0.0000162 of a Bitcoin. Okay. Right? I think I've seen transactions for nominal amounts, like 50, 100, 200 bucks. Translated into Bitcoin, it's a tiny fraction, less than zero. Or less than one, I should say. All right, let's end on this. This story there's certain stories, everybody, that when I see them, I'm like, ooh, charge. We're got to talk about this with charge. Headline, man accidentally gains control of 7,000 robot vacuums. What?
That's so great.
Okay. So
it's still great, Save.
Here is the story of a man who assembled by accident a 7,000 robot vacuum army without even trying to do so. So here's what happens. Dude drops $2,000 on a robot vacuum by DJI. It's idiotic. $2,000 for a robot vacuum.
$2,000. He doesn't.
He refuses to use the normal app like a peasant. He then fires up Claude to crack the API, that would be the application
protocol interface. So this is, you know, so you can talk back and forth. Yes. Right?
So he can drive it with an Xbox controller. The guy's name is Sammy Azdufal. Claude delivers the goods. They crack into the API. It pulls an auth token from their servers. That'd be an authentication token. Connects it successfully, except the system thinks he now controls 7,000 vacuums worldwide. He checks again. Yeah, 7,000. DJI built authentication with zero device ownership verification, so any valid token would work for any unit on the planet. Sammy Azdufal now has eyes inside every home across 24 countries that has this robot, and he has a live vacuum camera feed everywhere. He can get full floor plans from the mapping data so that some guy in Germany eating cereal at 3 a.m. is totally unaware his Roomba is snitching on him. He was one API call away from being the most informed burglar in history. All he wanted to do was steer his vacuum with a joystick. He did the right thing, though, and reported it, and DJI fixed it in 2 days. Wow. What the hell?
Now, I had several key takeaways from this. Number one is I've got a robot vacuum. And in years past on this very podcast, I have advocated to go buy a robot vacuum. It's great.
And I think I've mocked you for that robot vacuum.
Yes, you did.
When I should not have mocked you for it. I mocked you for your toy snowblower that runs on batteries. But the Ego power tools, including their snowblower, I've seen YouTube tests, do really very well, except for the most heavy of snowfalls. It wouldn't work in Providence, Rhode Island right now, where they've got 3 feet. But
the Northeast getting crushed.
Right. But most places, the lithium ion battery technology is so good now, it actually works. Proceed.
I did not know that the robots had a actual video camera. I thought it was just sending out little, like, you know, laser beams to check out and see. I didn't know it had a camera and it could see me with whatever I'm doing.
You didn't pick the robot up when it was first out of the box to take a look at it and make sure, like, okay, are there any cameras in here behind fogged out glass or anything?
Well, you knew it had a way to see the room, but I didn't think it was a camera. I thought
what
it was
technology
just like
would it
mapping
be?
The edges of the room, not looking at me at whatever I'm doing. And
okay,
by
but
the way,
what?
Look at, it's right there staring at me right now. unblinking eyes.
I'm done vacuuming, Paul. I'm not going to be ignored, Paul, says your vacuum in a chilling
right.
Glenn Close-like voice from the... name of the movie. I'm tripping on my memory train right now.
We certainly remember the scene, but I don't remember the name of that movie either. It was a long time ago. And boy, was
she boiled a bunny in the end.
Yeah, she did.
So, all right. So I guess the, what do you think technology would have been used? LIDAR? That's very expensive.
Yeah, I thought it was LIDAR. That's exactly what I thought it was. I wasn't going to get nerdy and actually say the LIDAR. But yeah, I thought it was using LIDAR to map out my room. And I'm like, that's fine. It doesn't, at that point, it doesn't know if I'm circumcised or not. And I think that's the relationship I want with my vacuum.
Oh, it's killing me now that I can't remember off the top of my head, Glenn Close.
Everybody knows right now.
Fatal Attraction. Fatal Attraction.
There you go.
Fatal Attraction.
Absolutely. You want a good, if any of our listeners right now are debating the merits of an affair,
that's
go
one.
Go watch Fatal Attraction for some good input on that.
Right. Well, you know, Valentine's Day has come and gone, so we cannot do our top 10 affair-related movies, which would be a whole, maybe I'll do that with Matt Miller, who's more movie-versant than you are, but yeah. There is also one involving Diane Lane that was really, really good. There is Indecent Proposal with Demi Moore from back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a classic for this very topic. Does it ever work out great? Is it ever like, man, that affair was the best thing I ever did? I got I got laid, I got all this, and I got away scot-free. End of movie, credits.
Right, yeah, of course. Like in real life, I'm sure there's a lot of them that end that way. Where it's like, yeah, that's that chick from high school from across town. She was my side piece, and now that's over with. And you go your separate ways. But in the movies, they got to make it exciting. They got to make it a thriller. So, yeah. So, anyway, you're happy with your robot vacuum. You're not sure whether or not this Sammy Azdufall got a mapped layout of your wonderful Utah place.
Well, I did not spend $2,000 on a
DJI
robot vacuum. That's insane. $2,000. I spent like $500. I thought that was a lot. I thought that was excessive.
Yeah.
I don't know what more the vacuum can do beyond what I've already got it doing.
And what do you got it doing?
Can I give you one?
Yes.
Can I give you one more appliance, quasi-electronics-based topic that I need to get off my chest?
60 seconds, go.
People who are on Xbox are grade A morons. The product is nearly dead, and now they do the correct thing and they sweep out the old management that killed the Xbox. And who do they bring in? A woman, somebody who has no history of gaming.
A woman who's not a gamer.
AI.
Yeah,
she ran AI at Microsoft, and everybody hates Microsoft's AI and nobody uses it. It's horrible. Nobody wants an AI person running Xbox. She's never gamed, knows nothing about it. What an incredibly dumb move by Microsoft. And
you have now Nintendo, Microsoft, and what's the other big gaming company that has a female CEO?
PlayStation also got a CEO running the company as well.
I mean, look, I'm not saying women can't know and enjoy video games, but I think these companies are reaching. Got to be honest. And there are men who are complete dickheads and dummies who fuck companies up left and right. But yeah, not really good. So
Yeah, the problem is not that they're women, it's that they're not gamers. And women can be.
Yes, they can.
Right woman, you need people that understand the marketplace because they've lived it and love it in that industry. You can't walk into it cold. It's going to be a disaster.
Charge, it's great to have you back. I look forward to seeing you in less than a month now at Zay Vegas 2026.
I will be there 100%, all booked and ready to
go. It's
going to
be so fun. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.